I'm Marianne Myers, and I am here with my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. I got my apron on.
You do have your apron on, and you've been cooking something that looks very curry-ish or turmeric.
Actually, no.
Oh. What is that?
I have a very bright yellow spot on my apron, and just to let you know, the Betty Crocker, June Cleaver existence that I lead, it's actually something that came in on the snout of one of the dogs.
Okay.
I think they're in the lilies. I think
it's pollen. Oh, my gosh. We've all, you know, the poor little thing is probably sneezing his little tiny head off.
Well, I think he's doing his duty as a mammal, first off. You know, every seed pod and burr that's in the yard gets spread around and the yard in the living room, and then now he's taken on the work of all the insects too, and he's pollinating.
Well, bless his heart. And so apparently your apron will be sprouting soon.
Yeah, it's so bright though.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Beautiful.
No, it is.
It's a beautiful color.
But I just thought you were cooking something exotic. What are you cooking?
No, little things. Well, it's spring, and so I'm making cold brew coffee. Do you make
cold press? Oh, talk to me about cold brew coffee.
Cold press. I just love it because it is so smooth. It doesn't even have a molecule of bitter in it. You know what I mean? And you know when you buy it in a restaurant and it really is cold brew coffee, it's really, really good. So what I do is my ratio is about, well, you take some coffee grounds and you put them in something that's glass that you can put them in a mason jar, a pitcher, or a plastic pitcher works just fine. I use that too. But it gets kind of coffee smelling because it sits in there so long. So if you're going to use it for something else, well, whatever it is, it's going to be a little coffee smelling. But my ratio is 5:1. So the coffee I grind at about medium. And the reason I do that, I think any coffee at work, and I've used different grounds that I had, you know, just hanging around. If I have coffee I want to get rid of, I'll usually make cold press out of it. But I grind it about medium because then it's real easy to strain the grinds out.
Right, you know? Right.
So that's really the only reason I do that. But I grind it about medium. And then if I had a cup of coffee, I would use 5 cups of water. And that makes, you know, a large amount. But it is a concentrate that way because I don't want to store the whole thing of liquid in my fridge. You know, I don't want to take up that much room in my fridge. So for me, that's just a little less than 1:1. Like, I think for me, and everybody's different, but for me, if I was going to make it how I like it, I would do 8 parts water for 1 part grounds. So I would use like 1/2 cup of grounds and 4 cups of water. But I just don't want to store that much liquid. So for some reason, I just hit on this 1 cup of grounds and 5 cups of water, and then you just let it sit on the counter. So you just put tap water, room temperature tap water in there, and you just let it sit on the counter overnight. I like it if it goes at least 12 hours. And a lot of times it's sitting there closer to 24, but it's just fine. And then I strain it through just a sieve, a strainer.
Right.
And that gets the majority of the grounds. And then I just dump those out. And then I put a coffee filter in the strainer. And I run it through that to get the kind of silty stuff out because there's a decent amount of that. And then I have a concentrate for the better part of a week.
Ooh.
I really like it.
All right.
Says spring to me.
Iced coffee, cold coffee, cold tea.
Yeah, yeah.
That's spring.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to know how to make Thai iced tea because I need to be drinking a whole lot more stuff that has half and half in it. Oh, my God.
Plus a lot of sugar.
Oh, yeah. That's why it's so
I'm
going to
start
delicious.
Buttering my cheese.
Good idea.
We both have goals.
We do. Something to work on until we talk next time.
Yes.
Well, you know, even though we just have these little teasy days of sun and mostly rainy days, as spring always is, I still feel in the kitchen like it's spring.
I
don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't know why I do, but it makes me want to think differently about what to cook.
Yeah.
even though yesterday I had the oven on all day.
Yeah, I'm like, you know, giving the finger to my potatoes. Ha ha! I don't have to cook you no more.
So over you.
Ha ha! Root vegetables. Ha ha!
That's right. Well, with the exception of carrots, I think of carrots as being the all-weather vegetable.
That's true.
You know,
true.
They are.
Yeah.
But I did do scalloped potatoes yesterday. So
oh, that's very wintry.
I know
and
it is.
And the sun was out.
I know.
I think you broke some rules.
I did.
Were you wearing white pants?
I can't believe I... Yeah, no, I wasn't. So
white
it wasn't
shoes?
Like a total commitment. It was just sort of a faux pas. I had potatoes. Actually, it was a request.
Okay.
It was a request.
Well, then that
and
works.
So, yeah.
Yeah. My poor husband, I got a bit of food poisoning last week. Always avoid
what?
That at all costs. I know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you get something like that, you don't want to cook. You don't want to even.
No. And you don't want to eat whatever you blame it on, whether it was that thing's fault or not. You
yeah.
don't want to eat that again for a very long time,
yes.
sometimes ever.
Yes.
Sometimes people hold that against a food forever.
Yes. Holding food grudges.
Yeah. Oh, did you poison yourself?
No,
okay.
I don't want to talk about it.
No, okay. But so you haven't been cooking a lot because...
No, in fact, for Easter dinner, we had top ramen. Mm. Poor Dale.
Do you usually do something special for Easter?
Reservations.
Yeah. Yeah.
He gave me a look. We've been married long enough. He gave me a look complex enough this morning that I could still decipher it. And was, so now you're going to go on the radio and talk about food, but I got top ramen for Easter dinner.
Hey, that happens at my house all the time. I'm always like cooking for somebody else or doing a cooking class or writing about cooking. And often not even cooking for my loved one, which is really horrible, really the worst. But the other night, I have cooked more lately because I'm home more lately. And I have cooked things that I think are actually required cooking. But the one thing that went during dinner, he went, everything is so delicious.
Oh.
And it was, you know, a steak and boiled potatoes and a salad. So
that always works, especially if you've been experimenting on them for a while.
Yeah.
This doesn't have any beets or anchovies. Yay. Well, I'm freaking out a little about maple syrup.
Because
I have heard that we're going to have like the crop was hurt by
this is going to be another vanilla thing.
Yeah, vacillating temperatures of the spring. And so I've read on the internet, and so you know it must be true, that they expect about a 75% reduction in the crop this year. That's
a lot.
So we'll just have a quarter of what we normally do. So then, of course, what I'm freaking out about, because I'm thinking, should I buy my year's worth of maple syrup? I probably will, just in case it keeps. That'll be fine. But then I think, oh, well, I have to think of all the things I use maple syrup for. So I made granola. I always put about a third of a cup of maple syrup when I make granola. But there was a recipe on the internet, I think the New York Times. It was for that restaurant in New York. It's called 11 Madison Park.
Yeah.
So this year, it was voted actually the best restaurant in the world. Usually it's somebody in Spain or somebody in Denmark that wins. But it was this one. So they have a granola that they give everybody when they leave the restaurant. It's like their parting gift. And they had the recipe on the internet. So I thought I'd try it. And it's prohibitively expensive because it is made up of shelled cashews, dried cherries, and coconut flakes.
Oh, my gosh. Why do we love it? Can't imagine.
I know. And then real maple syrup. So you just go to the financing guy and then you go to the co-op. Get the stuff. And of course there's oats, but yeah, it was really good. And it was pretty too. I'm toying with the idea of using it as like an auntie gift for Christmas because the coconut's white and the cherries are red and the pistachios, and there's some pepitas in there too. They're green. It was really, really pretty.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, yum. I did a baked oatmeal not long ago for the first time. Have you ever done baked oatmeal?
No. And I always see it like in the crock pot too, like recipes for doing it in the crock pot.
I've seen that too. This one was an oven thing.
How was it?
It was absolutely delicious, but it also has maple syrup in it.
Okay.
And the recipe that I used gave a choice of using sugar or maple syrup, and it has maple syrup in the custard that you make to pour over the mix, and
okay.
then you drizzle it with after it comes out of the oven, and while it's still warm, you drizzle it with a little more maple syrup and a little more melted butter. It
what
was
kind of,
really
what
delicious.
Kind of oats did you use?
I just used regular rolled oats.
Okay. Not
and
steel cut or anything?
No.
Okay.
I just used rolled oats. And then it also has nuts of your choice if you want them. And I
okay.
put walnuts in. Well, I made a couple different batches for different things. And I think I used almonds in one and walnuts in another. And so you mix the walnuts and the oats and the cinnamon and a little bit of nutmeg and some salt all together, and then you make the custard and you put a layer of the fruit of your choice, but
okay.
I put a layer of bananas in the bottom of a buttered baking dish.
Okay.
And then you put the oat mixture on top of that, just dry.
Okay.
And
so
then
oats and spices.
Yep. And then you put a layer of another kind of fruit, which I used berries, blueberries
okay.
in one, raspberries in the other.
Okay.
And then you pour this custard over the top, and the custard is a standard custard, eggs and cream or milk, and a little maple syrup.
Okay.
And then you bake it.
That sounds like a really good idea. I never thought of doing custard, you know, eggs
In
oatmeal.
Oatmeal,
but that's a really good idea.
Well, it just makes if you do it in a square baking pan, it just makes this thing that you can cut into squares like brownies.
Okay.
The challenge on the first one was to get it actually so baked long enough so that it held its shape when you cut it into squares.
Okay.
You know,
it wasn't sloppy.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a little soft the
it's
first
like
time, although
quiche.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Anyway, it was good. It was good.
It sounds really good.
I made the volunteers and staff here at the radio station be my guinea pigs during pledge drive.
Good for
and
you.
Brought it to them for breakfast, but it was really good, and it was something I hadn't done with maple syrup before.
Okay.
Which is what made me
yeah, I mean,
go off on that.
I do. I always freak out whenever one of these shortage rumors comes out. Then I have to think of everything I use, whatever the thing is. I remember the vanilla thing. I'm like, okay, how much do I use in a year? And I thought, okay, 6 pints. And I was close. I used 8. You know, I used a gallon, but I had 6 pints, you know, at $9 instead of 20.
Oh my
gosh.
I
guess I can't say prices. Sorry.
That's okay. We're not saying where
oh,
the
yeah.
price is. But yeah, that generally speaking, that whole vanilla thing. And it's still a little expensive.
Oh no, it's really expensive.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know. Who knows? You know, they say that there is a hurricane that affected the crop this year, but I think they realize they can charge more for it. But vanilla is fully 4 times the price it was 18 months ago. 4 times. And so that for me is too much. I've always bought bottles of extract. I use a lot of it. I do a lot of baking. And so I decided that I was going to make my own extract, which is just vodka and vanilla beans. That's an easy recipe. So I have some bottles, got some vodka. I had a bunch of vanilla beans. And what I found is that I like the flavor so much better. I just really do, because I still have some of the extract that I bought, and it to me tastes a lot fresher and just a lot more real vanilla-y. The extract, even though it is real vanilla extract, it just tastes a little fake to me.
And you were telling me that, because you got me off on this and I think it's fabulous, you were telling me that the cheapest vodka you can buy.
Yes. In fact, I rarely go to the liquor store, but I bought this to first experiment. I bought a fifth, and it comes, so you just need really cheap vodka, because that's all you need. It has no flavor. It doesn't matter if it's fancy or not, and you don't want a flavor in it. But it came in a bottle that was called a carry pack, which meant for people who just need to carry their fifth of vodka around, that this was the one to buy. And you'd think that they are probably a little, you know, quantity over quality. So, and that made me laugh. But yeah, so there are rules when that the FDA has about vanilla. I think it's like 100 grams per, oh gosh, liter or something like that of vanilla bean. But the internet is saying 7 beans, like extract grade beans, you know, kind of skinny, crappy ones, per I think it's per cup per 8 ounces. But I just put 4 in and I'm seeing how it goes. And it got really flavorful really fast. They say to shake it once a week and it takes 2 months, but I'm shaking it a couple times a day and I shake it violently and I left enough headroom in there. The beans are covered, but then the liquid can really slosh around and jostle the seeds from the beans. And I split the beans into quarters. So, I don't know. I'm kind of excited. It's really, really tasty so far, and it's been about 3 weeks.
I love this. And yeah. And I had some beans that were in a sealed jar, but they just got...
desiccated.
Yes. They got pushed behind something and ignored for a while, and then they were no longer... I was no longer able to split them and scrape them like you would do when you're baking. Mm-hmm. And so I just use dry beans, yeah. And they're fine in
yeah,
there.
And the internet says when they're dry like that, just to cut them into... sections, like,
yeah,
like not
you
slit
can
them
just
sideways.
Snap them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Snap beans.
Break them into pieces.
I'd like to take a quick sec to remind everybody who might just be tuning in that they are listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, KMUN, 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon, and we are always streaming at coastradio.org. So, Linda Perkins.
This show is such a source of endless ridicule at my house. In the morning before I leave, Dale's running around the house going, "Today we're going to talk about kumquats. They're just like oranges, but littler. Just toss them in a pie and bake it."
We need to have Dale on as a guest.
That would teach him, wouldn't it?
We definitely need to have him as a guest. I know everybody would love to meet him, and we all think of him not just as Dale, but as poor Dale.
Poor Dale. So poor Dale. There were anchovies in that too, honey. Poor Dale.
Anchovies and kumquats.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You know, kumquats are one of those things, really, Dale. I got to admit, aside from the little sections, the little discs of candied kumquat, mm-hmm. which I could eat eternally, I have never really come up with something to do with them. Mm-mm. I've never really tried to come up with something to
no,
do with them.
No, because all those things that use peeling, like shaker lemon pie, I don't like them. I don't want to eat lemon peel. I don't want to eat orange peel. And if you peel a kumquat, you've got nothing left.
Oh, I can't think of anything more tedious than peeling a kumquat.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So. Although I got to say with the lemon and orange peel generally off of lemons and real mm-hmm. oranges, there are things about them that I really do love. I mean, certainly we all like the zest,
yeah.
But I like the I like to eat the rind of a lemon if it's been like if I put a bed of it under fish and roast everything off and it's really cooked mm-hmm. with sweet onions and some parsley and some dill or whatever, that those they're so tender you can just cut that lemon yeah. with a fork and they're so delicious with a bite of really good fish. And I also like candied orange peel mm-hmm. a lot, really a lot.
Yeah.
So
I borrowed a cookbook from a friend and it's on that Vietnamese soup pho.
Yeah.
And so much of it. This is such a wimpy thing. So much of it, you know, you have to use a pressure cooker.
Yes.
And I'm scared of them. And I think it's because both my grandmas were hurt really bad by them.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. So I actually don't even own one.
Okay.
How do you feel about them?
Well, I'm a big fan of them, but I have the old kind that you know, that you... the standard old kind, and now there are new kinds that, and by new I mean in the last 20 years,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, yeah.
His mine's really the old kind where you put the top on and twist
doesn't
it
doesn't have an
and...
I like Ike sticker on it.
Exactly. So I have thought to my, because I very, very rarely use it because it is so old, needs a new gasket, blah, blah, blah.
See, that's scary.
So, yeah, but the new ones are mm-hmm. so fabulous that I think that the incidence of exploding pressure cookers is really vastly reduced with the new kind. And maybe you just need a modern pressure cooker, because they are really, they are to cooking what a slow cooker is. You know what I mean? They give you all of these wonderful options that you might not otherwise have.
Yeah. So, the book had maybe three or four pho's at the beginning that were called like quick chicken pho, quick beef pho, and then they all required a pressure cooker.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you really? I mean, is that how they're doing it?
I don't know. I have no idea. I didn't know a thing about it. That's why the book was interesting. And then I saw that. I'm like, well, toss. Not getting one of those. I just blow it up.
We're just going to go to Portland and have pho because I don't think we can get it here.
Boo-hoo.
I know. Let that be a piece of information to all of you out there thinking you should start a restaurant. First of all, no. And secondly, we need pho in Clatsop County.
Yeah.
We do. That'd be great. And and if there is pho in Clatsop County and I'm ignorant of it, I apologize and I need to know that.
Yeah, no,
so
call.
Please
because,
call.
No, I don't know anywhere that has it.
Yeah, I don't either. And it is quite delicious. Do you want to talk about a minute about what it is for people who might not know what it is?
Oh, see, I'm not the good person for doing that. Because I don't even think that I could tell you, except for it's a different country, the difference between ramen and pho.
Yeah.
So, see, and I'm always a little scared of going into Asian restaurants that are quite authentic and where, you know, people who work there or own it don't speak English well, because I'm so allergic to crustaceans and there's so many little dried shrimp and things that are in pastes and stuff, and gosh, it would just kill me. And so I'm not I am loath to take that risk. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so I have very little experience with it. That's why I was interested to read the book and see if I could make something and make sure that it wouldn't kill me, you know?
Right, right. And then you would have homemade ramen for next Easter.
We're moving up.
I got to say, we're kind of moving out of the soup season.
Yeah.
Although.
Gazpacho.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm not. There's a lot of cold soups. And I am not a big fan of fruit soup.
No, because it's really not soup.
And it's really not fruit. So really. Yeah. And the other thing
just
is,
make a smoothie.
I'm not big on vichyssoise. I would rather have a
really.
I like warm potato leek soup.
Okay, see, I love it.
Borscht, I like cold.
Okay.
And it could be cold or hot, just like potato soup. But
you know, my friend Georgia makes a zucchini soup that's cold that's so good, and it's pretty much just zucchini. I don't know what she does to it, but it's really, really good, and it even freezes.
Ooh.
Which is weird, right?
You can never freeze zucchini.
I know. But the zucchini soup freezes, and it turns out just fine when she thaws it.
Huh.
I should ask her what she does.
We'll try to get that recipe and share it with you on the website. Northcoastfoodweb.org is where you go for recipes. And I will get the baked oatmeal recipe up there, too, because I think it's a really good thing. And I think for folks with kids who might not normally like oatmeal, I bet they would like it because
I'll put the granola recipe up there for those of you with unlimited resources.
Yeah, who is that?
Maybe we could have saffron on it, too.
Oh, gosh. And some vanilla, because, you know, that's the other really expensive. And there is vanilla in the, there's vanilla and maple syrup in the baked oatmeal. So there you go.
Oh, my gosh.
It's how to turn oatmeal into
shortage.
A really expensive dish.
Yes.
Well, I'm thinking, you know, the farmers markets are going to start. I mean, there is a farmers market year round now at North Coast Food Web, the third Thursday of every month from 2:30 to 5:30. So there's one coming up this week.
My friend Jerry got some salsa last week from one of the vendors. And oh, my gosh, she's just on and on and on about it. I cannot wait for it to be this week because we need to get more.
Someone called in, and you know, I saw the light go on when we were talking, and I wondered if it was in response to the pho question.
Okay.
And it is that pho is being served at Clemente's on the evening menu.
Really?
So if we want to try that.
Do you know who else has it? Snacklebox.
Well.
Duh, I knew that, except that it just, wasn't in the top five things in my brain, which is all I can access at any given time lately. Yeah, you know, on 11th Street between Duane and Commercial.
Which is a beautiful little food cart.
Yeah, she's not open yet, but I remember Judith Ann, she said she was going to open it soon. But yeah, she has pho. Duh.
All right. All right. Two places in Clatsop County, Clemente's and Snacklebox that we know of, and maybe more.
No, I had no idea Clemente's had
okay.
that.
Okay. Thanks, whoever called in. Thank you very
maybe
much.
Maybe it's our ninth listener.
Oh. It could be. It's probably one of our regular eight.
Oh, okay.
I mean, the odds are, really.
I know. I hate curry, but I love pho.
Oh, my gosh. So what I'm saying about farmers markets is this, that as we go into spring, we start seeing all of this development, developing amount of fabulous things that we've missed all winter. And we've been really lucky at the winter market that we have always had really good local fish, really good cheese, really good meat, and Ginger down at Revolution Gardens out of Nehalem has done a really fabulous job of keeping us in winter produce all year. Yeah. I'm so impressed by her ability. And I think that's where the great salsa came from, too.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But as we get more and more into spring, we're going to have, you know, all that great spring stuff.
Yeah.
And in much greater abundance. So we're really looking forward to that. And should the rain ever abate, we will expand the market and put some tents out in the back parking lot, and there will be twice as many vendors.
It'll be so fun.
Yeah, it'll be so fun.
You'll have tomatoes.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. There are already heirloom tomatoes, organic heirloom tomatoes coming out of Mexico, where I got to say Mexico has done really fabulous work at developing wonderful organic produce, a lot of it coming out of just, you know, the far reaches outside Tijuana. Beautiful, beautiful organic produce. They also have some world-class restaurants down there doing farm-to-table. So I'm grateful to them, even though I'm not really sure that we want to fly a tomato 3,000 miles just so we can have one when it's not in season here. I'm not so sure about that, but I got to say that the organic produce coming out of, you know, the early season for us is almost always coming out of Mexico.
And it's very delicious.
The
thing I'm looking forward to is the baby greens, the baby lettuce. Ooh. Oh, I'm just so excited about that. It is time.
Yeah. Well, you can plant a little pot of that on the deck and have it right now.
Yeah, super easy with three dogs. Super easy.
Oh,
They're so highly trained.
And torrential rains. Do they like to eat whatever it is you plant?
Oh, yeah. They're gardeners. Yes, they are. Yes. And excavators, too. Yes. Yes. And seed spreaders and pollinators.
Gosh, you are lucky.
Oh, so lucky.
I believe it's your fault that you have so many.
Yes, it's true. What was I thinking?
I don't know. You were trying to do good and see what happens. No good deed goes unpunished. Well, what's on your agenda for this week? We're going into a brand new week. Any goals cooking-wise?
Just that same as last time. I meant to sous vide that pork last time, but I just didn't because I couldn't even look at food. So that's what I want to do. And then we just aren't eating enough salads at our house, and so I'm just trying different salad dressings. There's a baking book. Little Flower is a bakery someplace in America, but she wrote a bakery book, and boy, it's good. So she had written before a cafe book, like cafe recipes for her cafe, and she has a whole section on dressings, and one of them was a Vietnamese salad dressing, and it uses a seasoning. It's a liquid, you know. Called, I don't even know if I'm saying it right, but Maggi, M-A-G-G-I.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever tried it?
Uh-uh.
No.
But I've seen it.
It's a real old-timey thing, I guess, and I'd never tried it. So a friend finally found a bottle. We couldn't find it anywhere. And I made the dressing, and I didn't like it, so...
So don't bother looking for that.
But I'm not going to get, I'm not going to get discouraged. And so just trying new dressings that I haven't, you know. vinaigrette is just getting kind of tired, yeah. So I just need to make
But
some...
you know, you can tweak vinaigrette so many ways.
Oh, I know, I know.
And I'm so lazy about everything else. I have the world's best, thank you, Gretchen Blissett, bacon buttermilk dressing. And do I ever make it? No, because it's too much trouble. And I like to just like shake up some vinaigrette and go.
Okay.
And I try to fool my husband by... you know, using different kinds of vinegar, substituting citrus juice, adding a little honey, mustard, no mustard, blah, blah, blah. But I just, or shallots instead of chives. Mm-hmm. There's a million ways to make it taste a little bit different. And it is really the lazy way to have a fresh salad.
Mm-hmm.
So
anyway, that's for just trying to eat more salads.
Yeah. Well, we're coming into the season where there's going to be a lot of good stuff to just chop up and eat raw in a bowl with something fabulous on it. So as opposed to my, you know, I will make dinner for Tom, and then I will just have the what's left over of the grated carrot dipped in salt. I mean, I'm just happy with that.
Cinderella.
It's my recipe for carrots. peel them and dip them in salt. They're really good that way. Don't laugh unless you've tried them, then you'll just be doing the same thing anyway. if you are looking for recipes, go to northcoastfoodweb.org and click on the recipe button. And if you are interested in what in the world could possibly be at a farmer's market in April. Oh, it is the cruelest month.
No, that's like in Minnesota where it snows. Here it's awesome.
Anyway, it is poetically or not, it's available to you. We got to run. NPR News coming up just seconds from now. Linda Perkins, thank you very much.
Thank you.